gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
It's not normal.
It's just wrong. What?
It's not normal.
This is me starving.
Game over.
Planet X, Nibiru, megaquakes, nuclear war, martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. Their Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt.
All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, please, in the name of Jesus, give us all the strength to deal with the things that are happening and to do it with grace. Father, we pray for your divine protection over this program. We pray for your divine protection over every single listener of this program. Father, for those who lift me up by name, I pray in the name of Jesus for an anointing, indeed a tenfold anointing upon them, their families, and to all of eternity. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that each and every one of us will be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, give us the strength. Give us the patience of Job. Help us to be able to navigate the ambiguity of the days that we live in right now, because they are deeply troubling to those of us that have been given the eyes to understand the dynamics that are taking place across the world, and they are indeed troubling. Father, we thank you. Give us that patience. If anyone attempts from the forces of darkness attempts to even listen to this program, I pray in Jesus' name that their attempt will be thwarted. Father, make good eyes blind, good ears deaf in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Block them in Jesus' name and prevent them from moving forward, unless it is your will through this program that their souls be saved. Help us, Father God, in Jesus' name we pray. Give us the strength that we need to deal with these things. Thank you, Father, for taking away the frustrations that are a natural part of the humanness that is, again, a part of who we are here on this earth. Help us to keep our mind stayed on things above and not on things of this world. Help us to deal with the things that are being dealt to us by the evil one. Steer us away from anything associated with the evil one attempting to come against us. Forgive us of our sins and trespasses as we forgive those who sin and trespass against us. Glory to you, Father. We praise your holy name. Thank you for forgiving us for the periods that we go through that are very difficult to endure, associated with the understanding that you have given us as a gift, not intended to be a burden. We thank you, Lord. And we praise your holy name. Help us to get through these things with grace, to honor your throne room, and through subtleties and gentle touches of love and care and giving, to be able to bring more into an understanding of your awesomeness in these final days as we await the great rescue mission that we're also looking forward to. Praise your holy name. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise your name. Glory to God.
Told you to seek, watch and pray, for I would come for you one day. I gave you my word so you would know the time I'd come and take you. It's time for you to look around. The signs I gave are coming down. Don't be caught asleep and blind. You don't want to be left. Come and behold me. 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 Come and be holy. The end of the age is with you now. Tribulation is.
All right. I think we got two parallel things happening at the same time. I don't know what to call them, and I'm not going to give them a name because I have to think about it, and I don't want to get distracted from what I want to try to communicate, which is extremely difficult in the days that we're in right now. Most would say, as in the days of Noah, because we have a lot of things that are happening around the world. Don't get me going on the years and years and years of all the CERN creepy dances and stuff with, you know, conjuring up of demons and, you know, their admission at CERN of bringing supposedly spiritual demonic entities or something through the accelerator portals that have been opened. All these dynamics that have been occurring, all these creepy, weird things that have been going on for the last 15 plus years that we've been talking about on this program, particularly those things associated with the alien phenomenon, which, by the way, they've begun to discredit. So I'm going to try to remember. I'm going to try my best to pull all these things up. There's a as a matter of fact, there's this guy, this Dr. James Locke. Lakotsky, that's his name, Dr. James Lakotsky, Lacatski. And he is telling everybody now that the UAP whistleblowers lied to Congress, which is a lie. So he is a disinformation counterintelligence agent. Now, what happens is they turn, who's the they? The Synagogue of Satan. Who's behind all of this stuff? The Synagogue of Satan. Everything that's going on right now is coming from the Synagogue of Satan. We heard, I played on this program, I hope that you remember it, I pray in Jesus' name that you did, the, you know, that that anonymous, you know, this is all theater, you know, don't be distracted by, you know, that's true, it is all theater, and it's, and, you know, for lack of a better, I don't like to give them credit for anything, because I really hate the devil. I hate everything about him. You have no idea. Anybody who's been beaten over the head with a certified serialized Louisville slugger as many times as I have by the devil, it doesn't you know, it makes you very determined to come against him. Praise God. And a lot of us need that determination. A lot of I've had folks ask me, one even today, you know, what's going on? All these strange things. And I said to her, I said, hey, I think it's because, and it's just a guess, that, you know, we are, it's as in the days of Jonah. Okay. And I'm going to explain that here in a second. But also because, you know, of things that we do not understand. For our Heavenly Father, look, if you were to take two trash bins, okay, as we call them here in the United States of Babylon the Great, garbage cans, okay? In the UK, it's rubbish bins, okay? I have no idea what they call them in France. I got no idea what they call them in Belgium. I have no idea what they call them in Spain or any of those other places or Australia. Maybe they have a different name over there. Maybe they have a different name for them in Japan and China and Korea and who knows? We don't know. What do they call them in Russia? I have no idea, but I suspect Sister T has the answer to that. Anyway, praise Jesus. So here's the thing. We're if you had two trash bins, one trash bin was on the right, another trash bin was on the left, and all the prophecies, dreams, and visions that were supposedly sanctioned by God. Now, this is very advanced thinking. Okay, so this comes in play when you've been gifted by the Lord to have, you know, for lack of a better term, let me think of the right terminology here. If you have a strong ability to reason your way from and see things from multiple viewpoints, from our Father's viewpoint, from the devil's viewpoint, from Sally's viewpoint, from John's viewpoint, from, you know, and all these different things. If you have that critical thinking skills, that's what it's called, critical thinking skills, to allow you to be able to look at things from multiple perspectives, which a lot of people don't, or they do, but they haven't practiced it to the point where they really have mastered it, which, by the way, is kind of a burden and a blessing, praise God. But once, if you were to imagine these two trash bins, these rubbish bins, these trash cans, side by side, what the one on the right will say is we're going to put a label on it. It's going to be called prophecies, anointed prophecies, dreams, and visions from the Lord that didn't come true. And the one on the left is going to be anointed prophecies, dreams, and visions from the Lord that maybe might still come true. Maybe. The trash bin on the right that didn't come true is overflowing. There's paper all around on the ground. It's just unbelievable. You cannot, it's just like, oh my gosh, I wish I got in a bigger trash bin. And then, you know, you're just looking at it and you're going, because think about it. Remember, for those of you who have been around long enough that remember the days that we used to do, you know, the Blog Talk Radio thing with, you know, 1, 2, 3 minimum shows a week, 3 hours long each. Imagine that. And I know people email me all the time, oh, Johnny, I really liked it when you did those 3-hour shows. But people are extremely busy nowadays, and I've had a lot of people email me and say, well, I'm listening to the program now because I couldn't listen anymore. I had to break up the 3-hour shows into separate chunks, and I'd have to wear my headphones at work, and I'd used to listen to chunk one, number one, and then chunk number two, and by that time, you already had 2 more 3-hour shows, which is true. So where we are now is when I look at these things from a 10,000-foot viewpoint, you know, and I don't have any other way to describe it. When you look at it from, you know, potentially the heavenly office of God's viewpoint, you know, like the viewpoint of the 24 elders, for example, when you're looking down upon the things that are happening on the earth, you're looking at that plethora. I have a huge whiteboard here beside me up on the wall, and I would write down bullet points of all the prophecies, all the dreams, all the visions that had Obama as the Antichrist. Obama is not going to leave the office of the presidency. Obama this, Obama that, and all these different things. And I would just rattle them off one right after another. Bada bing, bada boom, bada bing, bada boom. This person, that person, this person, that person. Right down the list. Constantly on a regular basis, I would do that on the radio shows. Well, the trash bin on the right of things that didn't come true is absolutely overflowing. There's paper all over the place. How can that be? Because Amos 3:7 says, surely the Lord God does nothing without first revealing it to his servants, the prophets. But wait, What happened to Jonah? Huh? Oh, by the way, the new boogeyman is the communist movement. Everybody's a communist. So I can just imagine Drake OT right now. Every time he's sitting in front of a couple of, you know, CNN reporters or whatever the case is, he's going to be sitting there going, "You're a communist! You're a communist! No, you're a communist! Your kid is a communist! Your grandma's a communist! Everybody's a communist! Y'all need to go get locked up in a communism prison!" You know, it's like, thank you, Jesus! Hallelujah! Patience of Job, Father. Patience of Job. Patience of Job. Remember that people, see, if you've been trying to get across to people in your family things, just please understand that they're limited in intellectual capacity and spiritual capacity, but that doesn't mean you try to jam it down their throats. We need to recognize that we are casting our pearls before limited brothers and sisters and leave it at that. Don't try to shove it down their throat anyways. That lacks, you know, a little bit of spiritual common sense. Okay? I don't like to say casting our pearls before, you know, the SWI word, because we're talking about our brothers and sisters. And the Lord helped me to understand, because it used to frustrate me so bad I couldn't stand it. And that was the devil attacking me. The devil wanted me to take so much offense from the people that were part of my life and my blood. But see, the thing is, we give way too much credit to our blood, our family, our cousins, our aunts, our uncles and stuff. Because Jesus said, that's not my mother, my brother and sister. These who did the will of my Father is my mother and brother. And don't even get me going on when Jesus said, he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoa. That's one of the things that makes me feel really sad for mothers. Because mothers on this earth, they have this genetic bond with their children. And those who love son or daughter more than me are not worthy of me, right? So I have a deep, deep crying, tear-filled heart for anybody who's truly a mother, because that's something that's very difficult to separate from our flesh. But yet Jesus calls us to do that, doesn't he? He does. All right, praise God. So anyway, so as I'm looking over these things, yes, you can say, as in the days of Noah, there's a new movie coming out that's called Werewolf, Werwolf. That's going to be creepy, I'm sure. And I'm sure it's going to be something that I probably don't want to watch. All right. Thank you, Jesus. But that's okay. But all of us are going through this ping-ponging back and forth. And I really think it has to do, we all got to figure, we got to let go. That's the first thing we got to do. I pray in Jesus' name that you get that. We got to let it go. Stop trying to jam your pearls of wisdom down the throat. You're throwing your pearls before the limited fellow brothers and sisters. God doesn't like or doesn't have a special affinity or deeper love for those of us who have woken up to the things of the synagogue of Satan. Okay, believe me, we're not going to be at the front of the line because we knew more than somebody else who had the heart of Jesus. See, it's better to be wrong about stuff and have the true heart of Jesus than it is to be right about stuff and not have the true heart of Jesus. I could share something with you that my daughter texted me, and it was deeply troubling, so much so that it, well, pretty much knocked me off my game this weekend. Distraught is a very serious understatement to what she said to me. And if you don't mind, toss her into your prayers for me, would you? She needs them real bad. But anyway, these are the kinds of attacks that are coming in against all of us. We perceive them as, oh no, we're being singled out. Oh no, this, that, and that. No, we're not. We're not. We lose sight of the things that are happening to our fellow brothers and sisters over in Syria, over in Lebanon, over in Iran. Do you know how many churches that are, you know how many Christians that live in Iran? For real. What do you think it feels like to be living over in the Middle East, such as in southern Lebanon? Remember that family of Lebanese that were Christians, and they put a note, I guess, on the door of their house or whatever, and they said, "Please, IDF, we're Christians. Please don't destroy our house." And I'm thinking to myself, that was the worst thing you could have told them. Can you imagine what it must be like to be a Christian and watch the IDF slaughter your family, slaughter your brothers and sisters. I'm talking about real blood brothers and sisters. They don't understand. They have no idea why it's happening. They're mind shattered because they don't get the synagogue of Satan, the SOS. And Draco T, let me tell you something. Marina Abramovic, when she said that she was very pleased that Draco T, who's a magician-level Scottish Rite, is taking the helm. I mean, they're sending Jared Kushner and Witkoff, for crying out loud, over to continue talks, supposedly, with in Qatar with Iran. You know, Abbas Araghchi and all them. I mean, what for what? Jared Kushner and Witkoff, two of the greatest global proponents for the Synagogue of Satan Greater Israel Project? Come on! Do you really think that they're that gullible? But I guess they are, eh? Because they're having it right? Or are they? What's going to really happen? Was there ever a true MOU? Did they ever make it to the second phase of the MOU? What about the continuous behavior on behalf of, you know, the SOS over in Lebanon? What's going on? Well, I thought about it and I'm thinking, you know, it's kind of like as in the days of Jonah. And you might say, come on. Well, I'm going to give you a summarized commentary on why I believe that we're living in the days of Jonah, as well as the days of Noah, but especially the days of Jonah. Why is it that the trash can, with all those anointed prophecies, dreams, and visions about Obama being the Antichrist, which I'm not convinced completely that he won't become, I don't know. All right, but nevertheless, let us analyze. Critical thinking. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. All right. So why is that trash bin on the right overflowing with prophecies, dreams, and visions that apparently didn't come true? Why would that happen? Didn't God promise us in Amos 3:7 that he wasn't going to do anything without, you know, telling us about it through his prophets? But wait a minute. It kind of looks like he didn't really mean it. Or wait, is there more to it than what we're thinking? Could there be? So let me give you the Johnny Baptist rendition. Okay, now, I do admit that for the sake of humor, smiles, and a deeper understanding of things, hopefully, and knowing that I'm, you know, definitely not qualified. The only thing I'm qualified to do is speak from the position of a repeat sinner. All right, praise Jesus. Which, of course, I'm not praising Jesus that I'm a repeat sinner, but you get what I'm saying. All right, so here's the thing. All right, I'll do the best I can. So the story of Jonah, and again, I am going to embellish. I am going to give you my rendition of it. It may not be exactly what you take away from it when you read the book of Jonah, but I'm going to tell you my version of it. So essentially, Jonah... Well, for all, you know, he was, it wasn't essential, he was a prophet unto our Heavenly Father, our Lord God, our Father God. Now, so Jonah was told to prophesy against Nineveh. All right, you with me so far? And Jonah said, No, I'm not going to, no, you're not going to do that to me. I know what you're going to do. You do it every single time. You always renege on what you call, you tell us prophets to go out and proclaim judgment upon people, and then you change your mind. I'm not going for that this time. No, sirree, I'm not. And he ran for it. He said, nothing doing. That's essentially what happened, really. When you think about it. So what happens? Now, I'll make a long story short. Jonah gets swallowed up by a whale. He's hanging out in the lowliest part of the bottom of the ocean inside of a whale's stomach. Okay, as in the days of Noah. Okay, So, in the New Testament, Jesus says, accept the sign of I think it's like Jonah or something like that. I got to go back and review it again. I'm so far behind because of my work and everything, but please forgive me. I'm trying as best as I can, you know, and I'm going to drop the ball and I'm going to make mistakes. All right. Doesn't mean that I'm trying to be malicious in what I'm doing the best I can to communicate. I'm doing the best that I can. All right. Under the circumstances, and folks, things are just out of control crazy. Now then, and they are tricking us. It's all deceptive lies. Like I said, Marina Abramovic was correct. Now then, you've got Jonah, and he's going like, no, I'm not going to fall for it this time. You're not going to make a horse's patootie out of me. No! And he goes running for it. He says, no, Father, I'm not going to do it. You know, God, I'm not going to, you know, prophesy against Nineveh because you're just going to take it back. You're going to make me look like a patootie, and I'm not going there. No. So he gets swallowed by a whale, and he's sitting inside this belly of the whale, and it's like, for how long? 3 days. It's like 3 days of darkness. What do you think Jonah experienced? 3 days of darkness. That's why in the New Testament, when there's a callback to that, it's 3 days of darkness. Why? Because he's in the belly of the whale. 3 days of darkness. Okay, you following along so far? I hope that you are. Now, so the and that's where Jesus said, and they will not be given a sign. Everybody asks for a sign, but it will not be given them. You know, and he goes back and he calls about Jonah. Yeah, and the 3 days of darkness and all that other stuff. There's your big sign if you want a big sign. But the barley harvest, do we get any sign at all? Well, the only thing that we can track is some kind of a nuclear event followed by the appearance of a gigantic spherical copper-colored mothership. But this happens while everybody's in complete insane turmoil, and they're just flipping out. So we know that the Civil War-type things are already going on at that point. Okay, they just haven't, well, we're going to have to wait and see, because the trash bin on the right is overflowing. Tons and tons and tons and tons of prophecy, dreams, and visions that didn't come true. Many of which never came true. Never. Does that mean that all of them are in the never come true list? No, it does not. How in the world are we supposed to tell what's true and what's not? We're not. We need to get over ourselves. We want to, nobody's more guilty at this than I am, okay? I'm not rebuking you. I'm accepting my own personal blame. Because you know what? If it wasn't for my crows, I don't know how I'd get along. Hey, easy. Kids, did you know, are you there, kids? Kids, did you know that if you play Jaws backwards, it's a heartwarming story of a shark giving arms and legs back to people who really need them. Okay, never mind. All right, praise God. So in this grand scheme of things, Jonah prays and he gets released from, I'm really cutting it short, I have to, and he gets released from the belly of the whale, and he went and did what he was supposed to do. And he prophesied against Nineveh. Against this greater. He didn't want anything to do with it. He called the Lord out on it. He's like, you're going to renege. Just like you always do. All right. So he gets out of the belly of the whale. I'm going to read the fourth. I don't know if you want to call it fourth chapter or whatever. And the New King James gives it Jonah's anger and God's kindness. That's the subtitle of the New King James. I like those subtitles. Sometimes he smacked the ball into, you know, all the way out as a home run, and it bounces off a couple other, baseball stadiums in other states, and it just keeps on flying. Just keeps on going. All right. And then other times, they completely miss. But, you know, hey, it happens. Now, so chapter 4 of the book of Jonah says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Okay? So again, the verse right before that says, then God saw their works, and that they turned from their evil ways, and God relented. He changed his mind about the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it, just like Jonah said he wouldn't. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became very angry. So now Jonah's, not only did he go through all that he went through, 3 days in the belly of the whale, all that kind of stuff. But he, now he's really mad. And he said, and so it says, so he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." Did you hear that? One who relents, changes his mind, from doing harm. Now we know why. Look at the trash can on the right. "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." That's how distraught he was. Just kill me. Kind of like Elijah. All right. So, and then it says in verse 5, "So Jonah went out of the city, and he sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat in it under the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head, to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened, when the sun arose, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head, so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, 'It is better for me to die than live.'" So this is two times he said that. "And he said, 'It is right for me to be angry, even unto death.'" That's what Jonah believed. All right, you with me so far? I hope so. Verse 10. "But the Lord said to Jonah, 'You have had pity on the plant, for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, the great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand or their left hand, and much livestock?'" So essentially, our Heavenly Father basically says, in so many words, it's pretty clear, to Jonah, tough bananas. I'm God. I decide when I'm going to relent. I decide when I'm going to bring judgment. I decide. So we should not really be surprised at all, when you think about it, that all those prophecies, dreams, and visions that we've talked about thus far for the last 15, 18 years, if you go all the way back when I originally started the website, or before, where are we in all of this? Why is it that the trash bin that appears to be, and I don't want to use the word false prophecies, because a false prophecy is not one that God relents on. At the time that it was given, it was true. But our Heavenly Father does have a tendency. Jonah nailed him for this. He nailed him. He nailed our Heavenly Father. Absolutely nailed him. And he ran for all the right reasons. You know, in a sense, he's like, "Father, you're just going to relent. You're going to make me look, you know, really bad. I don't want to be the one that, you know," and all this other stuff. And he went through all the things that he went through. And then our Father comes back and says, "Yep, I relented. I changed my mind. There's 120,000 people that live there, and they don't know their left hand from their right hand. What do we got going on in the world right now?" Think about it. To the people that are limited in our lives, to our brothers and sisters who are limited in our lives, do they in any way different from the people of Nineveh? Are they different? Did they differ in any way whatsoever? No, really not. Have any of us here in the United States of Babylon the Great, or any of the Western civilizations across the EU, Canada, Australia, any of what is considered the West, which is 25% that will meet with death, behold a pale horse, 25% of the world, which Draco T has been given charge over destroying in all of his unbelievable Niagara Falls worth of lies that he tells continuously. So in reality, as we all know from living it, we can clearly see, I think we can, I don't know about you, but I think I can clearly see a repeat of Jonah happening over and over again. The Cascadia subduction zone. We had a lady, I believe her name was Mary, and she came on. She said the very next judgment of the Lord is going to be the Cascadia event. Well, look at us now. It's now June 29th of 2026. But wait a minute. What about the Baba Vanga vision? Is that going to not come true? Well, the problem is we just don't know. And we're going to have to get used to not knowing. Can you imagine? Look at where you're sitting right now. Look around the room. Do you have air conditioning? Do you? Are you relatively comfortable? Does your local store have food for you to buy? Do you know what it feels like to be a Syrian, a native Syrian Christian, and to watch your children be murdered before your eyes? But you have to have the heart of Jesus and forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, we see our individual life issues as just being, oh, I'm being picked on, I'm being attacked by the devil. You know, yes. Is it possible? If you were fighting a war, who would you go after and attack first? Would you attack all of the people on the other army that are not a threat to you? They're not a threat. They're all dancing in the aisles, waving flags, praising Jesus. Oh, the Holy Spirit moved in a beautiful way in our church this weekend. Oh, I loved it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. See, no, you wouldn't go after them. I'm going to just tell you straight up. The devil is going to attack special forces. He's going to attack the Navy SEAL, SEAL Team 6. He's going to go after the Green Berets. He's going to go after the special forces. Now, imagine, let's just pretend that you are one of the special forces. Maybe, this is a big maybe, because you understand the dynamics of the Synagogue of Satan. You understand the things that are going on right now. You know that Draco D is a Draco. You know, but can you imagine being somebody who lives in southern Lebanon, watching your children die at the hands of the IDF, crushed in rubble? Huh? Can you imagine that? I don't think we can. Can you imagine what it must be like to be in temperatures of 87 degrees Fahrenheit, which is something like 30 Celsius, and above 33 degrees, 33.3 degrees Celsius over in France right now? And they actually got factions of people over there that don't believe in air conditioning and rebuke the people that want to have air conditioning. It's absolutely insane. But the insanity is everywhere. It's just everywhere. So look at your situation with a sober, calm, Jesus heart. I look at my situation. I mean, listen, I got a list as big as anybody's. More reasons to complain than probably a lot of folks. But you know what? There's no point. Do not criticize, do not condemn, and do not complain. Because none of that. Those are all the devil manipulating your tongue and your thoughts. Father God, in the name of Jesus, please cleanse and totally purify our heart, our mind, our soul, our spirit, our flesh. Our record-keeping books in heaven, our robe and gown in heaven, with your precious blood and your holy fire. We thank you, Father. We declare the holy fire of God around about us on all sides, Job 1:9. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The trash bin on the right is overflowing. The only answer to that that makes any sense at all is as in the days of Jonah. Our Father is extending a merciful hand. How long is he going to extend it? We just don't know. We have to learn teach ourselves, pray about it, that God will change our hearts. Help us to be able to appreciate the things that we do have. If you only had the things that you thanked God yesterday for when you woke up this morning, where would you be? In the streets. That's where you'd be. Admit it. You'd be in the streets walking around going, it's 33.333 degrees Celsius. I'm baking like a, trout on the, that's the kind of thing. That's what it's, we aren't putting ourselves, now, I know, a lot of people say, I don't live over in Syria and I guess I can't relate to, no, that's not okay. For God so loved the world. Seeing things is part of your critical thinking skills from the heart and mind of others across the world, from the unbelievers and the believers alike. That is what we need to become. Keep your mind stayed on things above and not on things of this world. Thank you, Jesus. That's who we are. Praise God. Everything that is around you, everything that you take for granted, can be and probably is a mighty, mighty blessing that we're failing to acknowledge and thank God for. We need to buck up. We need to deal with it. We need to remember that trash can on the right is way overflowing. As in the day, I still have the definitive collection of prophecies, dreams, and visions going back over 15 years where I had literally taken snapshots of them and put them into a Word document that's well over 1,000 pages at this point. I'm not going to get upset about it, but I wanted to understand, and I've been talking to the Lord about it, and our Father does tend to be generous to me in regard to showing me dynamics and helping me to understand things, because he knows that when I start talking about things on the podcast, this show, that if I don't understand them, I start to get get freaked out. I'm like, I don't want to mislead people. Because I wasn't able to rectify it. I couldn't come up with a reason for the things that we're seeing happening right now until it hit me, as in the days of Jonah. All right, praise God. We're 42 minutes into the first hour. Thank you, Jesus. I'm still working on what the title's going to be, but I have, as in the days of Jonah, attacks everywhere, which is true. There's no MOU agreement, which is true. It has been, the ceasefire has been violated multiple times. Of course, at the hands of, guess who? The synagogue of Satan. There's discrediting, as I just mentioned, by this guy, James Lakotsky, saying that all the UAP whistleblowers, no, they're not lying. I can tell you as a fact, they're not lying. There's constant changes back and forth over the Strait of Hormuz, and the new boogeyman is communism. I will say one thing about Draco T. He definitely has a satanic art of deception that is beyond anything I have ever seen in my life. He could be Satan himself for as good as he is at it. I kind of wonder if he is. I don't know what he is. What is that thing? Ugh. Anyway, thank you, Jesus. Help us to get through these things, Father. That is very, very difficult. All I can tell you is when I think about all these things, I feel like this.
Hey, human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
All right, praise God. Oh, I burned off another minute. Oh, no. What am I going to do now? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so anyway, over the last several days, one of the reasons, again, why I stretched things out was I was hoping that there would be some kind of material change in what's been going on. But there hasn't really been any what you would call material change. Now, what does material mean? Well, in the world of finance and SEC, Security and Exchange Commission's filings, that means that it is a significant enough of an impact to your financials that it could cause, doubt amongst the people that are buying your stock. And there's a whole bunch of different rules that are associated with what materiality means. Now, in our case, a material change is probably, and I'm guessing, I'm kind of making this stuff up because it's very difficult. We've never been through the dynamics that we're going through on earth at this time as Christians. And our fellow brothers and sisters that are limited, they don't see it. They're completely, and we got to remember, they're only limited. So we pray, we praise God, because you don't get brownie points for having better intellectual acuity and a better understanding of what's going on out there. God wants the meek. He wants those who love. He wants those that are like Jesus. He wants those that live the Beatitudes, that are the Beatitudes. Does knowing what's going on right now make you live the Beatitudes? It does not. God would rather have somebody that's deceived, that has a kind, loving, generous, deep heart of Jesus. Because those are the ones that he needs to promote. He doesn't want another Satan. He doesn't want another one of those. When he promotes us and we finally ascend, as, you know, into our eternal life with Jesus, we're not going to be, we're going to rule and reign with Jesus, but it's not going to be, you know, walking out onto a gold pavement together and holding hands and saying, "You there, squirrel, I command you to go up the tree. In Jesus' name, I command you to come down out of the tree. In Jesus' name, I command you to go up the tree. In Jesus' name, I command you to come down out of the tree. In Jesus' name, I command you to go up the tree." Do you really think that's how we're going to spend eternity for the rest of eternity? No. You have to look at God's creation. You have to embrace God's creation, the intergalactic nature of God's cosmology. When he says, "I'm going to destroy the heavens and the earth and then create a new heavens and the earth," is he talking about out there beyond the Orion belt, the Orion Nebula, the gateway to the eternal realm of the Creator? Is he talking about it all? Or is he talking about where we are trapped right now only? We don't know. But one of the things we know for sure is that big list that I used to have on the whiteboard here beside me, talking about Obama's not going to leave the office. All these things that we were talking about, backed by endless prophecies, dreams, and visions. That trash can overfloweth. What's up with that? Are they all false prophets? Well, not according to the book of Jonah. They're not. Which means we really got to kind of tighten our belt and be ready for bumpiness. I'm going to tell you this, but I'm not trying to freak you out, because I want to be someone who is encouraging you. But when you're being encouraged during really dark times, sometimes you got to get some seriously bad news. Now, I have on Tribulation Now a prophecy or a vision or a dream or whatever it was called I'm frustrated because it's the such and such encounter. I can't remember. Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. But anyway, in that particular prophetic event that happened to this particular individual, he saw different things happening, and he said that they were part of the tribulation period. He meant the pre-tribulation period. There is no pre-trib rapture. Schofield lied. And of course, what do we see? Global, complete, utter confusion, right? Amen? We do. Well, if you look at the new NLT, the New Living Translation of Luke 21:36, where it says, "Pray always to be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." If you look at the NLT translation of that, it says something different. Now, I don't give you this information because I want to bum you out. I give you this information because of the holy, hopefully God-inspired possibilities. Anything can happen at this point. We do not know. Our Heavenly Father is in control. He's using Satan, as we ought to know by now, on an executive severance package to bring in the fullness of the Gentiles. Thank you, Jesus. Which, by the way, is mentioned in Luke 21:20, where it talks about Jerusalem being surrounded by her enemies until the fullness of the Gentiles has been brought in. All right. Chuck Misler used to quip and say, okay, I get the feeling that one of you in the audience here is holding us back. It's pretty funny. But anyway, I love Chuck Misler. I always have. Matter of fact, I wanted to join his thing, and I started to do it, but then, anyway, forget about it. So here's the thing. Now let's go ahead and jump ahead to Luke 21:36. I'm only giving you this as a just in case, okay? I'm not saying this is the way it is, so don't go back in the corner.
Oh, no, I can't take it anymore. I just can't take it anymore.
Don't do that. You know, if you say that you trust, you know, Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him, that's us, in perfect peace. Those of us whose mind is stayed on our Heavenly Father because we trust him. Now, if you're getting all distraught and worked up and extremely upset, oh, I can't take it anymore. I can't take this. It's just driving me crazy. You don't trust God. Oh, you maybe with lip service you do. Oh, I trust God. I trust him. Oh, I absolutely trust the Lord. I trust the Lord with all of my heart. I trust in him. I trust in him. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. If you truly trusted the Lord, then you would trust him to all of these things. You wouldn't sit around and question what he's doing. You would say, your will be done. And you would truly mean it. You would truly mean it. So when you are sitting around thinking to yourself, I trust God, ask yourself, are you worrying about what could happen? And if you are, then you don't trust God. Sorry, but you don't. Not really. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. I mean, not on your own understanding. Oh, no! CBDCs are coming! This is terrible! Larry Hill's in an Oracle, and they're all going to put us on this horrible watch list, and we're going to the FEMA camps, and oh my goodness gracious, this is just terrible! That doesn't sound like somebody who trusts God. Right? So we all have to look at what's around us. Let me share this with you. I am not saying, and don't hold me accountable for this, because that is not true, but I'm sharing this with you because what if? I'm going to go ahead and let me see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Okay, let me see what comes up here. Okay, Luke 21:36. And it says, unless that day comes unexpectedly, it's talking about Jesus. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. That is the New King James Version. That's the one I like to memorize from. But is it guaranteed that it's accurate? Is it? Well, let's take a look at the New Living Translation version of this. Keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. Whoa. Wow. That's a really dramatic difference. It doesn't even look similar. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. But wait, the NLT says, keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. Hey, get your passport. Hey, Belize doesn't have any restrictions. You can go down there as long as you want to and just like hang out. Anyway. So, I just wanted to share that with you because right now, we're living in the days of Jonah. Like it or not, it is the days of Noah, but it's also the days of Jonah. For sure. I believe that with all of my heart, else I wouldn't have shared it with you. Now, I could share with you the King James Version, but it doesn't delta. There's no noteworthy delta from the New King James. Okay? Also, I can read for you the Amplified Version. Keep awake then and watch at all times, be discreet, attentive, and ready, praying that you may have the full strength and ability to be accounted worthy to escape all these things, taken together, that will take place, and stand in the presence of the Son of Man. I don't know. It does add a little bit of color to the New King James and the King James, but it's not quite as terse as the NLT. Which one do we believe? Maybe we need to be ready for everything. Maybe we need to stop counting on our own understanding. Maybe we need to live Proverbs 3:5 and stop quoting it and pretending like we trust our Father when our behaviors indicate otherwise. Look, nobody on the face of the earth, believe you me, I can't think of anybody, except maybe somebody that's over in the Middle East right now getting attacked by the synagogue of Satan and Draco T and his weapons of hell. All right? I can't think of anybody else on the face of the earth. And the people in the Ukraine, oh my gosh. And the people in Nigeria that are being slaughtered wholesale. And the DRC, the people that Sammy, he goes over there to Idri Island all the time. Have you looked it up on a map? Do you realize that it's right, I mean, just down the street from where that new Ebola breakout is occurring? It's not as bad as the one that's further north, but everybody's dying from it. Nobody's living through it. We're not going through that right now. So it was called Chuck Youngbrand. The Lord just brought it back to my recollection. I have on the website, and maybe I'll revisit it. Here's what I'm going to do. But I'm waiting for my new printer. Okay, it's a long story, but I bought an expensive printer because I use printing as part of my job. All right, now, long story short, it was a significant investment. And I was very super duper not happy. In fact, I was downright angry. Because the thing broke way, it didn't even make it like two-thirds of its way through the first year of its warranty. Well, I had a few words that were not too nice. It wasn't very Jesus-like of me, the way that I presented myself, but I was angry. I was downright angry. And it was because I spent a fortune on this. It was a lot of money, folks. I don't even want to tell you how much it was, because you're going to be like, okay, who in their right mind spends that kind of money on a printer? A guy like me who totally depends upon it to be able to complete his job. So I made the extra investment, and it broke about halfway through the first year. So I went ahead and launched a complaint through the really important people that really don't care, but they're doing your jobs, at HP. Well, they, you know, after quite a few organized complaints, et cetera, they ended up saying, okay, look, you know, mea culpa, we're going to go ahead and send you a replacement printer. Well, they did. And I set it up and I thought to myself, oh, this is great. Seems to be working great. Everything's cool. It was not. So I'm getting ready to renew my passport. At least I'm hoping to. That'll be the litmus test of all litmus tests. If I get a renewed passport approval, then you know all this facial recognition stuff ain't for the birds. Not now. It means that Palantir and all the data centers have not come to fruition yet. None of it's really, we see all the warnings, but it's not a threat. The last thing they want to know, the evil ones, is what little old you is doing. They don't care. They're looking for the bigger threats. That's what they're looking for. They want to shut them up. I don't want to open up a can of worms by even mentioning Charlie Kirk, but I did. If you have a very, very large audience, they're going to kill you. Simple as that. But they haven't killed Candace Owens yet. But you know what? She's not really much of a threat to them, because the only thing she talks about is Charlie Kirk. Which is a shame, really, when you think about her talent. And then you've got Tucker Carlson, who is kind of wide awake and aware, but is a little bit reserved. And then Alex Jones gets together with Tucker Carlson, and they both, for all intents and purposes, come to an agreement that it's highly likely that Israel, with their Hannibal directive and all the other things that they do and the nuclear stuff, that they're going to, you know, potentially launch an attack, a major false flag of nuclear in nature, by the way. Okay. Remember the Samson option. That's a book. You should read it if you have time. But I know a lot of people don't. I get that. I don't have time. I have it. I'd like to read it. But anyway, So aren't we all in that same situation? Now, so we need to try as best as we can to look around us and prepare ourselves to be holy like Jesus in every way, with the humility to live and become the Beatitudes. Don't just read them. Be them. Be them. We have to become Jesus in these times, which means we understand that we're not going to throw our pearls before those who are limited. Because that's not wise. That's not Jesus-like. If we throw our pearls before those who are limited, and we know they're limited, then what are we doing? We're breaking one of the mandates out of Proverbs 16 and 17. And the last one, he says, these six things the Lord hates. Yea, the seventh is an abomination unto him. And that last one is creating division amongst the brethren. We don't want to go there. I think we're a little too far into all of this for any of us to be, you know, upsetting our Heavenly Father. We want to be praying for ourselves to have patience, peace, love, endurance, strength to be counted worthy. Does that mean to go through these things? Or does that mean to escape them? Does escape mean the rapture, the barley harvest? And what about the people in the 1600s? What about the people in the, you know, all these ages gone by, the Christians that, what about them? What about when they were looking at Luke 21:36? What did they think? How come it didn't happen for them? What about the Helen G. White crowd? They all thought that the Great Tribulation was upon them. Look where we are now. Are we part of the fig tree generation? Surely looks that way. I can't imagine that we wouldn't be. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the Chuck Youngbrand encounter, is what I called it. And he describes in painful detail the stuff that the first 3 years of the so-called tribulation period, which I don't like that term at all. As a matter of fact, I'm not really even a believer in the most common accepted understanding of Daniel's 70th week. Okay? There's too many people out there that believe things that they should not. So are things maybe totally different than what the traditional Christian-ish understanding of them is? The Schofield-esque understanding of things are? Could they be quite different than the Schofield-esque believers? Those who are limited. That we're not going to cast our pearls before. But we're going to love. And we're going to pray for. Because we have to have the heart of Jesus. Are we going to be that mature in our walk, that patient? Are we buckled up to go through the rapids? If you haven't seen the movie entitled Jungle, about four men, three of them were tourists, that went into the Amazon jungle under the lead of somebody who was taking them for a small amount of money. Folks, watch it. And by the way, it's a true story. It really is a true story. And it's amazing. But we have to understand that in a sense, we're all kind of like that. We're all going through a jungle period. And we don't know what's around the next corner. We don't know. We don't know how much of what everybody else believes that's different than what we believe is accurate. What I'm going to do when I finally get my replacement, because what happened was I was trying to put together the forms, lots of forms that I needed to go in and put my passport thing forward. I got a date and everything, and I got to go down there. I got to get my picture, and it's got to be, I got to hand them the picture. I can't give them a JPEG. I got to actually hand them a physical 2x2 picture with my forms filled out. It's a CS11 and a DS11 and a DS64 because I lost my expired passport, and they make you go in there and say, no, I don't know where it is. No, I have no idea what he looked like because I don't know where it is. And if I didn't know where it is, I wouldn't, you know, and all this serious craziness. It's just absolute insanity. Because after all, they have to take it out of the database because somebody might try to steal your identity. Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure, buddy, sure. But anyway, beside the point, we need to be ready to ride our way through the rapids. Watch the movie Jungle. You'll see what I'm talking about with the rapids. Okay? Because it does a really good job of helping us to understand through the movie and the things that actually happened in the movie. I see beginners say things like aliens or demons. I know. I was a beginner once. I used to say aliens or demons all the time. I even had a shirt made. And I went to one of the alien movies at the AMC theater. And I wore my green shirt with aliens or demons printed on it because I made it special just for that event. Because I didn't have a clue what I was talking about. Lines upon lines, precepts upon precepts, here a little, there a little. You know, you can't go to trigonometry if you don't know your algebraic order of operations. You can't. You can't go to calculus. You can't go to any of those advanced math classes if you don't know your algebraic order of operations. That's why the Bible, that's why our Father gives us a little bit at a time. Here a little, there a little. If our Heavenly Father would have come to me and said, what I know now is true, I would have been like in total denial. I'm like, oh, come on. I must be hearing from the devil. Our Heavenly Father has to give us a little bit there. Sorry, here a little, there a little. And of course, I'm having indigestion at the right, just the perfect time every single time I do a program. Thank you, Jesus. So anyways, we need to understand these dynamics as in the days of Jonah. Praise you, Jesus. We are 1 hour, 6 minutes past the first hour. And I wanted to help you understand those dynamics because it's communist everywhere. Communist everywhere. Run for cover. The new boogeyman. We'll see you on the second hour. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father.